We're in the church house. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I need a fresh work of the Holy Spirit in my life inside the church house with my brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's good to be here. So, and thank you, Debbie, for leading us, and Gina, for your wonderful work on the piano. This morning, I'd like for you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. It'll be a very familiar passage of Scripture for many of you. Luke chapter 16, we'll pick up in verse 19. Also, I didn't let Hannah know, but Proverbs 24:11 is a place I'd like for you to mark with your finger or something in your Bibles. Proverbs 24:11. But Luke 16 will be our main passage of Scripture this morning. It's good to be in the church. I'm excited. I need to be here. I've been desiring to be here for quite some time. I've titled this message, If Only I Had. Now, the phrase, if only I had, is a phrase you could go a lot of different directions in, but you'll find out quickly where I'm going with this. But after all the effects and changes of COVID-19, after all the rioting that's been taking place in our nation, after all the things that's been going on these last weeks and months, I just felt it to be an importance that we would just get refreshed on the mercy of God. Just get refreshed on His grace. And so with that said, I'd like for us to read Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 19. I'm going to read through verse 24. My copy of God's Word is the New King James. Yours might be a little different, but you follow along as I read aloud. And if you would like, stand. And if you're not able to stand, that is fine. But we will stand and we will begin with the reading of the Scriptures. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried, and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in tormented flame. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we ask that you would draw us close through your word. Father, we ask that you would teach us, Lord, to live joyful lives in spite of things that are outside of our control. And Father, I lift up to you a lady named Janice. I heard a shout out for her well-being. And Father, I don't know her or what's going on, but I lift her up to you for healing and recovery. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In 1985, the city of New Orleans was giving a pool party. They were giving a banquet for all of the lifeguards of that city. It was a celebration because for the first time in memory, I mean it was a long, long time since the unthinkable had not happened, that there hasn't been a drowning. So they give this pool party, this banquet for all the lifeguards and their families as a big thank you for a successful year. Everything had gone so well. There wasn't any incidents, any accidents. There certainly wasn't any fatalities. So the city just wanted to say thank you and bring all these lifeguards and their families together to say job well done. Well, there was a man at this pool party by the name of Jerome Moody. And it's a tragic story. Maybe you've heard it before. He was 31 years old, and Jerome Moody fell into the pool, and he drowned. Now, as a tragic story as that is, to drown at a three-hour party, how he could fall in there and drown is just tragic. But at the end of the party, somebody looked in the deep end of the pool and they seen a figure, and by the time they pulled Jerome out, it was too late. He had already passed away. And like I say, it's a sad and tragic story, but we don't want to miss the irony of it. How can somebody die of drowning in a pool where there's over 100 lifeguards in attendance? 100 certified lifeguards were in attendance at this pool party. And they were confident and they were capable to save lives. Yet for Jerome Moody, it was his last day. How does that happen? How can that even be? Were they all just distracted? Maybe, but how could over 100 lifeguards be distracted at the same time? How could somebody not hear the splash or the panic? Someone might say, well, they just forgot who they were. They were at a party that was all about them, that was in honor of them, and they really wasn't worried about anything else, and it was just about an all-about-me time, and so they just kind of forgot who they are. Well, I'll tell you a greater tragedy. I'll speak about a greater tragedy and a greater honoring, and it's not a person drowning in a pool party with 100 lifeguards around the pool. A greater tragedy and a greater irony is that people go to hell all the time. And there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people who do life with them every day. We rub shoulders with them every day. We know the names of those who are in dire straits, yet they go to hell. People go to hell all the time, and you and me who know the good news of the gospel, we know the resurrected Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We know His amazing love, and we have what it takes to stand in the way of their impending death and their eternal separation from a holy and loving God. But oftentimes, nothing is ever said or done about it. This is what we say all the time. If only. If only. If only I had been aware, if only I had thought about what was going on in her life, if only I would have understood the struggles that he was going through, if only I would have been aware of how lonely that she was, if only I would have known how bad really is. But unfortunately, we usually don't come to that realization until after the fact. We think, if I had only been aware, I could have done something. And everybody else is saying the same thing. So Jesus talks about two roads. Jesus says there are two roads, and he says either you're on this road or you're on that road. And he says the road that is broad, there are a lot of people on that road. He says many people are on that road. And he says that road is leading to destruction. That road is leading to hell. But he says there's another road. It's a narrow road, and only a few people find it, but it leads to everlasting life. So according to Jesus, the majority of people are not going to heaven. And we just need to know that. According to Jesus, the majority of people are not going to get there. They're not going to get to where they think they are. They're on the wide road that leads to destruction, on that wide road that leads to hell. And the only thing, dear friend, the only thing that stands between them and where they're going to be are you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, with one message, and that's the message of salvation. That's the message of the resurrected Christ. The people you know and love, and even the people that you don't know, are counting on you, whether they realize it or not, to stand in the gap, to stand in the way, to help reverse their course through the grace and the mercy of God. The wisest man that The wisest man ever, actually, writes in the book of Proverbs 24, verse 11. Proverbs 24, verse 11 says this: deliver those who are drawn toward death, and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. The Bible says they're stumbling and they're staggering to the slaughter. They're just stumbling and staggering. And it's like they're walking in darkness and they're staggering to their death. And if you're without Jesus, I want you to know, dear friend, you're in darkness. And I know that doesn't make a lot of sense to some folks. And you may be offended by that. Think, okay, right there, preacher, that's why I don't like to come to church. Because the church is always labeling people, and pastors, they're always labeling people. But you just got to know that's how Jesus spoke. Those are his words. And the Bible says that if you don't have a friendship, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that you are in darkness and that you're lost and you're on that broad road headed to destruction. Solomon said Deliver those who are being led to slaughter. Led by sin. Led by what seems right in their own eyes. Led by what seems right in their own mind. Led by feelings instead of truth. Deliver those who are stumbling. Those who are doing their best in life. They're doing their best in life, but yet they're still on that broad road that leads to eternal separation from the goodness of God's grace. And once again, the only thing that stands between them and destruction are people like you and me who call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, with his message of salvation brought through his sacrifice on Calvary's cross. And he rose again on the third day, that resurrected power that we know as followers of Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that stands between them and their destination on the broad road. I've got to say, there's only one way you get to heaven. And please hear this and hear this well. It's through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Good people go to hell all the time. Church folks go to hell. Wonderful people go to hell. The only people who go to heaven are those who ask God for his mercy and forgiveness of sin, and those who find themselves in repentance, turning from that. They receive the gift of Jesus Christ's righteousness, and they're right before a holy God. Everybody else goes to hell. We need to understand that. Those who hear the message and say, no, not for me. Those who hear the message and say, well, I'll deal with that some other time. Those who hear the message and say, well, that sounds interesting, but not right now, go to hell. The Bible says when you die, you will face judgment. So it's a big responsibility for you and I as Christ followers to stand between where they are and where they're heading. I was 33 years old when I became a follower of Jesus Christ. And before that, I was walking in darkness and didn't even know it. I was on the broad road to slaughter and destruction. I didn't even know it. And a part of my story is, in the years leading up to my conversion, I loved to go fishing. I still like to. I just don't have time for it anymore. But I loved to go fishing. I was a maintenance man at Wire Rope in Chillicothe. I had a best good buddy, him and I, we loved to go fishing. But the most important thing that we did when we went fishing was take our cooler of beer. We would rather leave our fishing poles at home than our cooler of beer. Do you understand what I'm saying? But don't get me wrong. We're not saved because we don't drink. We're not saved because we don't smoke. We're not saved because of whatever vice is out there. We're saved because of the grace of a holy God. As I become a Christian, I begin my journey to know more about Christ. I begin to read my Bible. I read in Matthew chapter 4 where Jesus talks about a different type of fishing. He talked about fishing for men. He talked about being fishers of men. He said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And when you're not raised in the church world, that sounds kind of crazy. What's that really mean, to be a fisher of men? As I began to study and learn more about the Bible, I realized that one time I was a fish. And I was caught by the grace and the goodness of a holy God. I was captured by his love. And I began to realize that I have a lot of friends and a lot of family, a lot of folks, but they need to be caught by the goodness and the grace of a holy God. And they need to be captured and drawn up in the net of his love. I was placed in a relationship with Jesus. And I know so many people who need to be invited to that relationship as well. And so do you. It's interesting to me because Jesus could have said, come follow me and I'll make you smarter. And I really think that will happen. I think that if you give your life to Christ and you're devoted and you're dedicated and you're committed to following him, you'll probably get a little smarter. Jesus could have said, come follow me and I'll make you a better husband. You know, and I believe that to be true. I believe if you follow Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you'll be a better husband, or you'll be a better wife, or mom, or dad. Jesus could have said, come follow me and I'll make you a better student. He could have said, come follow me and I'll make you more holy. He could have said a lot of things that would have been true, but what he said was, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. We all have friends and neighbors. We all have people we do life with. And we need to be missional right where we are. And that means to live out God's character in our lives, even when it's hard. And most of the time, it is hard. And we need to do His mission. And sometimes it's our own adult children. Sometimes it's others. But every Christian in the church needs to know that we're called to be fishers of men. All of us. Not just the Navy SEAL type. Not just the Green Beret type. But we're all called to be fishers of men, regardless of how comfortable we might be with it or how comfortable that we're not. Wherever you live, wherever you work, wherever you play, we're to fish for men, to be caught by God's grace and captured by His love. And we're to stand against the majority on the wide road with one message shown by our life and our words. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. I took a long time getting there, didn't I? Luke chapter 16, beginning verse 19, Jesus says it like this. Verse 19, once again, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. This just means that he shopped at the most exquisite stores. That's what it means to me. It's like he was going to Saks Fifth Avenue. He wasn't wearing stuff from Walmart and Dollar General. He was in the upper crust. Verse 20 speaks of the sores that he had. Look at verse 20 again. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus full of sores, and he laid at his gate. And these sores most likely meant that he had leprosy. And leprosy was somebody that everybody would see, and they just don't know how to deal with it. It's like, oh, man, brother, I know you're a human being, but I don't know how to deal with that. That is, makes me really comfortable, all those sores. Kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies. Not sure how to deal with you. And I'm just telling you, we don't have people out and about with leprosy, but I promise you this, we have people that are lepers emotionally, spiritually, and relationally all around us. Some of them are in our circle of influence. Some of them are people we just run into at the gas station or the restaurant, but they're lepers spiritually, emotionally, and relationally. They're just like Lazarus, only they didn't have the physical sores. They're elsewhere. One time, Sharon and I was down in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and we went to their historical downtown area. And let me tell you, there's a lot of folks walking in darkness that don't know it. There's folks, we've seen folks, man, they needed to have a name tag to know whether they were a man or a woman. And I begin to wonder, is there anybody who loves these people enough to tell them about Jesus? There's lots of them. Is there anybody that loves them enough to show them the love of Christ and what they're searching for in their heart that will just make them whole? There's lepers all around us. The rich man didn't know how to deal with Lazarus, and often we don't know how to deal with people who are deep in darkness, with things like adultery and gender identity. Therefore, we just don't deal with it. Verse 21, desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. The dogs came and licked Lazarus' sores. It's like the only friends he had, the only ones that would come close to Lazarus was the dogs. This man was so low in life, that's all he had. And I find it amazing sometimes what we'll call for friends that really aren't friends, but it's all we got, so we call it friends. Well, the beggar died, and he was carried, in verse 22, by angels to Abraham's bosom. And Abraham's bosom is just another expression for God. The rich man died and he was buried. Some people read this and say, okay, poor people die and they get to go to heaven. Rich people die and they go to hell. That's not what Jesus is teaching here. That's not the truth. Those who go to hell are those who reject the message of Jesus or have never heard it and given a chance to begin with. Verse 23. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. You know, there has to be a real devil. One that deceives and distorts the truth and makes things confusing for you and I. There are some people with these crazy ideas that think, well, when I get to heaven, when I die and I go to heaven, there's going to be like 72 virgins there waiting on me. That's not heaven. That's somebody's distorted imagination. Heaven is what the Bible says it will be like. And people have done the same thing with hell. Oh, hell's going to be a place where the good old boys hang out. The good old boys, they're just going to get together in hell and they're going to have a good old hot time on the town. Again, there has to be a devil to make smart people come up with these crazy ideas. Hell is not a party place. It's not a place where bad boys go to have a good time. Remember, hell is a place where a lot of good folks go. Hell is a place where everybody goes that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So what's this place like? Well, verse 23 says that the rich man lifted his eyes up. This means that he was conscious. He knew what was going on around him. He knew what had taken place in his life. He knew the opportunities he had to accept Christ as his Lord and Savior. Hell's not going to be a place where you just go to sleep and never wake up. It's not going to be a place of rest. You know, I don't even like talking about hell. You probably don't like to hear it a lot either. But I don't like to talk about hell because I'm always concerned that somebody will show up and say, I knew it. The preacher would either talk about hell or money, one of the two. That's what they do. If we really understood what Jesus said about hell, we wouldn't want our worst enemy to go there. If we really understood what Jesus had to say about hell, we would find somebody to pray over, find somebody to love, jump in the middle, invite somebody for lunch, invite somebody for coffee, and build that relationship where we could make Christ known. The Bible says in verse 23 here, Luke 16, that there's torment. The rich man was in torments. And Jesus said on another occasion that hell is a place where the worm never dies. I don't even know what that means. But it don't sound good. I don't want to be there. I don't want anything to do with it. He said the fire is never quenched. And the rich man asked Lazarus to dip his finger in the water that he might cool his tongue. The thing that sticks out to me the most, though, is that this rich man cried out, Father Abraham, in other words, God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And I want to close with these final thoughts. One day, everybody's going to ask for mercy. I just want you to know that from the prom queen to the picked over, one of these days, everybody's going to ask for mercy. If you do it now, you'll be given forgiveness and mercy. Ask him today. Don't put off any longer. Or you may be here this morning, and you need more courage and more confidence to stand between people and their destruction on that wide path. Or you may be here this morning, and this is where my heart is, that all churches would just be soul-winning churches. And your prayer might be, God, use my influence, use the influence of my church family, that we would stand between those who are on the wide path and destruction with the message of salvation. And you also might be like me this morning, and you might be here and you know a lot of Jerome Moody's in your life. And you have what can save them from eternity separated from God. Consider those being led to the slaughter. Dear friend, that's my purpose and your purpose. And when that purpose is fulfilled, the Lord will take us home. Our values determine our direction. Let us make a difference to those around us who are on the wide road. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, this message this morning is one that just is eternal. And Father, it makes us think of some of our friends and some of our family. It makes us think of our own eternal destiny. So Lord, I pray through your Holy Spirit that at this moment right now, Father, you would convict our hearts. You would convict our hearts, Father, to be committed to following you, to be fishers of men. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you will stand, we'll have a time of invitation. And during this time of invitation,